Hi everyone, my name is Jared and you're listening to the Jesus Gift Teachers Talkthrough. The purpose of these talkthroughs is to give you a big picture overview of each of the Bible guides so that you can feel confident in sharing them with someone else. The topic for this talkthrough is the cross. And in this study guide, you're going to be asking the question, why does the death of Jesus benefit us? Now Jesus lived 2,000 years ago and the claim of Christianity is that his death is not only still relevant to us, but it's the most relevant thing. It makes the most impact upon our lives, and it's unlocked this thing called salvation. And so this Bible guide is all about connecting those dots with the person that you're studying with between the death of Jesus 2,000 years ago and our lives today. So let's go through the study guide in detail. So it begins with the question, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you see the symbol of the cross? With 2,000 years of Christian history, the things that people felt and thought when they thought about the cross back at the time of Jesus is very different to today. For us, often we even have positive feelings around this. And so this question is all about beginning that journey of thinking a bit deeper and going a bit further into it and rethinking what the cross actually means for us today. Now, you might choose to read this section through in full, or you might just summarize it in your own words. Do whatever it is that works best for you. Going now down to the exploring the scriptures part, we begin in Genesis chapter 3. Now, in the last study guide, we looked at the beginning of the story of Adam and Eve, and this part really finishes that story. And as you go through this, what you're really wanting to focus on is the consequences that come as a result of Adam and Eve eating that fruit. And so those are shame, separation from God, fear, broken relationships, pain, natural evil, and death. And you'll see these just come out in a very natural way as you just read through the text. And so shame, they are ashamed of their nakedness, so they cover themselves. Separation from God, they're hiding in the garden. Fear, you see this where Adam says, I heard you coming and I was afraid. Broken relationships, when God begins to question Adam, Adam says, it was the woman that you put here. And so he's now like throwing these accusations at Eve. And so you see that their relationship is starting to fall apart. Now, pain is a big one that comes through in this section. God says that as Eve brings forth children, it will be done so in pain. And as Adam brings forth food from the ground, it will also be done in pain. And so pain is now a part of their experience. And then we have this thing called natural evil. And what I mean by that phrase, natural evil, is that evil is not only in their hearts, but evil is actually a part of God's creation. And we see it actually enters into God's creation. Now, the clearest place you see this is where God puts the curse on the ground, and now it's producing thorns and thistles. And so that's what you see taking place there. And then finally, death, from you came from the dust and to the dust you will go. And so it's important to bring out these consequences because it's going to be really significant as we get towards the end of the Bible, of this Bible study. Now, going from there, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4 and 6. And the big idea here is to give the to help them get this impression that sin begins very small, but it quickly spirals out of control. And so I've got two illustrations you can use. It can be either a bushfire or a pandemic. Both start with something very small, a flame, a tiny little flame, or a tiny little virus, and they grow very big and very destructive. And that's the impression that you get with these verses. And so you don't have to spend too much time on the story of Cain and Abel. Simply just point out the fact that that in such a short amount of time, now we see Cain killing his own brother. And then as we get to the time just before the flood, we see that all of their thoughts, all of the time, was only evil. And we find that sin has become that bushfire. And this is important because for some people, they might look at the story of Adam and Eve and think that them eating a piece of fruit seems very small. And why should all of these consequences come from something so small? And so what you're getting across is just the reality of sin is that even if it starts small, it just spirals out of control so quickly. So from here, we then go to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 1. And this is an opportunity for you to introduce the story of Jesus. And now you're not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but the big sort of thing that you're going to focus in on is the purpose for Jesus coming to this world, and that was to save us from our sins. You've just been talking about the sort of broad and comprehensive consequences of sin and how it impacts us in so many different ways. Well, that's why Jesus came to this world, to save us from all of that. Now, the next question that I guess is going to spring from this is, if Jesus came into the world to save us from sin, how does the cross do that? And for this, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. And this is a verse that is very small, and it's easy to skim over this as you read through the story of Genesis. But in this one little verse are some really important things. So the verse says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve, and he clothed them." And so I usually say something like, so why would God need to make clothes for them? Now, the answer is going to naturally come from the story, because they were naked and they had tried to make their own clothes and their own efforts were in vain. And so God now comes and he fixes their problem of nakedness. But what I see in this story is that their nakedness is not just, it's not just their physical nakedness here, but the nakedness almost becomes symbolic of their bigger sin problem. And so as God gets down and he makes these clothes for them, he actually illustrates symbolically how he's going to save them from not just their nakedness, but their sin problem as well. And so as you discuss this, you can look at the fact that it's skin. Well, what is implied by the fact that it's clothing of skin? Well, it implies that there has been a death to an animal. And this is quite significant because you remember Jesus said that if you eat from the fruit from the tree, you will surely die. And so Adam and Eve are the ones that deserve to die, whereas this animal is innocent. It doesn't deserve anything. And yet it's the animal that dies. And so it gets this, it creates this really, this place, it brings you to this place where Adam and Eve are looking at this animal and realizing that what is happening to the animal should be happening to them. Now, that's a key line there that I like to bring out several times throughout this Bible study, and it's going to sort of connect some of these different passages. What is happening to the animal should be happening to them. So implied in this simple little verse is really the first sacrifice. And this first sacrifice, I like to share with the person I'm studying with that it's not going to be the last. In fact, throughout the Old Testament and the story of the Bible, we see lots and lots of sacrifices taking place. And all of them are teaching this same lesson about what that of this innocent animal taking their place, and what is happening to the animal should be happening to them. And so then we go to Leviticus chapter 4, and you might want to point out that Leviticus was kind of like a guidebook for the priests as they were at the sanctuary and as they did their religious services and sacrifices. And the first several chapters of Leviticus is really just outlines a bunch of different sacrifices and how they were to be performed. Now, it's kind of a gory passage, and so you don't need to go into all the details of this, but here are some of the things I like to highlight as I go through this passage. Firstly, I highlight the first and the last verse. So it begins by describing this person who has sinned, and they realize it, and they have this sense of guilt, and they want to fix this. And so that's why they're making the sacrifice. And then at the end of the passage, it says that this person ends up being forgiven. So this shows that this sacrifice is teaching this lesson about how we can find forgiveness. Another key word here is the word atonement. And the way I like to explain this word is by breaking it down into its parts, at-one-ment. And atonement is the process of becoming one again. And so we've read about how sin has separated us from God. And so this is showing how God is going to bring our relationship with him back together once again. Now, a few other things I like to highlight. There's a few details that are really significant. Firstly, it says that the sacrifice had to be without blemish. So this animal couldn't be sick or blind or anything like that. And so this kind of links back to the idea that the animal was perfect and that it was it represents innocence. Then I like to point out as well that the person laid the hand upon the head of the animal. And the way I like to describe this is that this is symbolic of the sin of the person is being transferred to the animal. That guilt is being transferred to the person, or to the animal. So now the person is not carrying it, but the animal is. And so now that the animal is, it then is killed. It receives the consequences of that sin, the punishment for that sin, and the person gets to go free. So there's this exchange that takes place. So then we're going to go to the New Testament. And what we're going to try and do here is really show how all of these sacrifices point forward to what Jesus is going to do on the cross. And we begin in John chapter 1, verse 29. And in this verse, John is preparing the way for Jesus, and Jesus shows up, but instead of saying, "Behold Jesus," he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so John here is connecting Jesus by calling him the Lamb of God. He's connecting him with all of the sacrifices that happened up to this point. And here's a place where you might want to explain that these sacrifices never actually resulted in anyone's forgiveness. They were just a teaching tool to help people understand what Jesus was going to do upon the cross and how that was going to save them from sin. Now, a little side note here, because this is just a teaching tool, some people might struggle with this idea of sacrifices because it's very violent and it seems like this huge waste of animals. Why would God ask people to kill so many animals just to teach a lesson? Well, something that helps me is remembering that and realizing that a lot of these sacrifices were actually eaten. So they weren't just wasted. And even today in our world, we have lots of animals being killed for food. And so it's like Jesus is taking something that was already happening and he attaches this really profound lesson to it. And so that really helps me wrestle with that aspect of the sacrifices. So jumping down to now 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19. And this is teaching a similar point to the passage in John. And so this says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from your empty way of life." Now that phrase there, empty way of life, I like to connect that with this thing that has been handed down to us from Adam and Eve. And so all of these problems that we've been unpacking, that's been handed down from Adam to his children, to their children, to their children, all the way to us. And so Jesus has redeemed us, or he has set us free from that situation. How did he do it? It says there, "With the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish." So once again, Peter now is connecting the death of Jesus with all of these sacrifices that pointed up to that point. And it's interesting here is that Peter also brings out one of those details from the sacrifice that we had talked about. It was a lamb without blemish. And so here's a great place to connect the death of Jesus and what Jesus did with some of those details we had looked at earlier. So remember, the sacrifice had to be without defect, and that points forward to how Jesus was without sin. The hand was placed on the head of the animal, and that represented the sin being transferred to the animal. And for us, figuratively have placed our hands are being placed on Jesus, in that all of our sins collectively were placed upon Jesus. Our guilt was placed upon Jesus upon the cross. And then just as that animal experienced the consequences of that sin, Jesus too experienced the consequence of all of our sins. And here is where I like to then link the death of Jesus with all of those consequences that we saw in Genesis 3. And this, if you really make this connection, it can be one of the most powerful parts of this Bible study. And so I like to go through each of those consequences and show how Jesus experienced that on the cross. So firstly was shame. Jesus hung naked as a criminal in this shameful death upon the cross. Separation from God. You remember the words from Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Then going across to fear. A good spot to show this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is is sweating like drops of blood. Broken relationships. There's so many here that you could connect with, but there's Peter who denied him, Judas who betrayed him, the religious leaders who were supposed to prepare the world for his arrival, who are actually the ones organizing his crucifixion. And it goes on and on and on. There's lots you could include there. And then the next one is pain. That's fairly obvious. Natural evil. It's really, it can be really a profound moment to connect this with the crown of thorns on Jesus' head. So you can say, you remember the curse upon the land brought thorns upon the earth. And now Jesus is wearing those thorns upon his head. And then finally death as well. And so this is really a wow moment where we really can show how Jesus has taken all of those consequences in the most extreme way upon himself. He experienced and he was treated in all the ways that we deserve. So then we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. And this passage really shows the other side of the gospel. And so in the previous passages, we showed how Jesus was treated the way that we deserve. And now in this passage, it shows how we now can be treated the way that Jesus deserves. And so in verse 21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. So Jesus was innocent and he was made sin. He took all the sins of the world upon himself so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So now Jesus' righteousness is placed upon us. And this can really connect in really nicely with that idea of Jesus clothing Adam and Eve with the skin of the animal. And if you see that skin as representing the innocence of the animal, God now is clothing us with the righteousness of Jesus. And it might help to explain what the word righteousness means. I usually just say that if sin is a bad thought or action, righteousness is a good thought or action. And so the perfect life of love and righteousness of Jesus is applied to us. So that when God now looks at us, he doesn't see us doesn't see me as Jared the sinner, but he sees me as if he was seeing Jesus himself. And that's a beautiful thing for them to get their mind around. And that brings us to Isaiah chapter 53, which really just in really poetic form outlines how Jesus took our place and took our sins upon himself. And so that brings us to the end of the Exploring the Scriptures section. And the key idea here is that Jesus was treated as we deserve, that we may be treated as he deserves. And so in the Gift of Jesus section now, remember this section is all about connecting this Bible study with that gift of Jesus, that how Jesus came to the world for us. Now, again, you can choose to read it word for word, or you can summarize it in your own words. Really, this is just about summarizing the things that have gone that you've discussed up to this point. Now, finally, looking at the Living It Out section, discussion, what does the cross reveal about us, about sin, and about God? About us, it shows how much we're loved. About sin, it shows just how terrible sin must be if it required something like the cross in order to fix it. And what does it reveal to us about God? It just shows us his love and his forgiveness and his grace. And you could go into so many other descriptive words about how much God loves us in that section. And so as with all these Bible guides, it finishes with a decision question. This one's quite a simple one. Are you thankful for that Jesus chose to die on the cross for you? That's one that most people will easily say yes to that one. Because why wouldn't you be thankful for Jesus and what he's done for us? And remember, in the next the next Bible guide is salvation. And so this one is just really an introduction to that. And in the salvation Bible study, you're going to take this decision question one step further, and you're going to invite that person to give that person the opportunity to invite Jesus into their life. And so, yeah, that brings us to the end of this study guide. I hope you found that really helpful. Something that is a good thing to finish on is just to remember that as you give this Bible study, you're not doing it by yourself. Jesus is there by your side helping you as you give this. And I think of that beautiful promise in Matthew 28, verse 19, where Jesus says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So that brings us to the end of this talk through. I hope you found that helpful. And so, yeah, have a wonderful time sharing the incredible good news of Jesus and the cross with somebody that you know.